Church, we all have to decide who we're going to call on. We can look to ourselves, we can look to other men or women, or we can look to the heavens and call on the name of the Lord our God. There's a few simple choices. And today, we've come here, we've made the effort, or with your, maybe you're online with us, and we're choosing God. We're choosing Jesus. We're choosing to call on the name of the Lord. And what that looks like is using your heart, your voice, your will, and you just ask Jesus for help. You check in with him and you call. No one else is going to do that for you. That's your job. That's our job. It's personal. It's relational. So let's open this part of the service with another prayer and asking God to meet us. Father, we thank you today that we know who to call. This song reminded us that no matter what the situation or context, we have a direct access to you to call you, Father God, through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that access today. And we call upon your name. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come today and do a special work among us as a corporate family, as a group today. God, would you individually minister to us personally and as a whole? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, worship team. And at the end of the service, we'll be celebrating communion together. And we can have them back on the stage at that point. Amen. Well, I won't start with a joke today. I'm going to save it for later, and we'll just see where we go. I don't want to get away of the Holy Spirit if it's a bad joke. Well, my name is Mark Henshaw, and I'm happy to be with you this morning and share God's word. As Pastor Kevin and Sherry have been away and enjoying some vacation time, some beach time, and they will be back next week and looking forward to seeing them soon and celebrating Mother's Day together next week. We're continuing our series in our devotional book, Money Matters. How many know money matters at your house? It matters at my house. I haven't found a way to plant that proverbial money tree in the backyard, so it matters at our house, and I believe God also would say that money matters to him. He created it as a tool for us, and that's what we're going to talk about today, as how money is a tool and how we can put it to use, because we want to gain all that we can, and we want to obtain all that we can. And some of you might say, well, isn't this a church? Why are we talking about money? Why are we talking about getting more money? Because the Bible talks about it a lot, and God created money for you as a tool. It's our job to become masters with the tool of money and to go to school and learn what the Bible has to say about money and the right use of money. And if you have your devotional book with you, today we'll be going through pages 65 through 67. We have 1 week left in our devotional, starting after Mother's Day. We'll continue in that series. So we have about a week left to go through, which is 7 days. So we'll kind of work that into our late spring, early summer in this series. Deuteronomy 8:18 is our verse today. And it says this, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is today." Deuteronomy 8:18. Now, I just wanted to share a few prophetic words and a couple prayer items before we get too deep into that. Over the last week or so, a couple people have come up to me and said that they got new jobs. I heard 3 or 4 amens. How many know it's good when you get a job? Oh, yeah. It's hard to pay bills without a job, isn't it? Well, you know, I was so excited for that person or those people that got jobs. They've been wanting a job. They got a job, and they're working. And I thought, well, you know what? It's such a good news for them. I bet there's other people in our church that could use a job. Is that true? Is there any of you out there that want a job, that need a job? Yeah. There's probably those online right now. And so I thought, why don't we connect our faith with the victory of our friends that got jobs and pray for you to get jobs right now? All right, so I believe by faith we're supposed to ask, seek, and knock. And some of our friends are getting victories. We celebrate with them, and now we go for you and get your victory. Okay? So all you have to do is put your faith on. That's called believing and trusting. And you're like, okay, God, I'll take a job this week. I'll open my heart. And God can bring you that job offer. Now, he can put the shovel there, but usually who has to pick up the shovel? You. That's right. He might bring a backhoe. Who knows what your training is? He can bring some cool stuff to your life, but you still got to get in and get to work. Like Adam was talking about last night, our faith is an active faith. We still get up in the morning and we still work. And it's a joy and a privilege to do that. So if that's you, we're just going to pray corporately right now and online. If you are the person that you're looking for a job this week, then put your faith on. We're going to close our eyes. Put your hand high in the sky and let's believe this week for a job. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our church family. There are people in this audience and online right now. They want a job. They want to gain power from you to go get wealth and to make an income. And we agree with that. Right now, in Jesus' name, we ask for favor, open doors, kingdom opportunities, jobs saved just for them. This week, that'll open up and they will step through it and they will say, yes, here I am. I am ready. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. We agree with that, and I hope that you share your testimony when you get your call and get your job, because we believe that God gives you power to go get wealth. He gives you abilities, opportunities. We just have to say yes. All right. Now, the second word was related to that. In addition to that, I believe God is going to be promoting many of you in your workplaces. And when promotion comes, usually two things happen. You get more responsibility and more money. How many know those go together? Rarely do we just get more money for no reason. Those over in authority of us say, hey, I'm happy to pay you a little bit more, and then they add another portfolio on the side. That's just how life works, because they trust you, and they believe their investment in you is a good return because you're developing your skills. So I also want to pray, how many of you are ready to receive a promotion in your life and to go forward both responsibility and revenue? How many would like to go forward in that area of your life? This one's a little trickier, because do you want more responsibility, right? There's a price that comes with it, but there's a grace, because God says, I will give you the ability to go get wealth. So you're not going to be on your own. God will help you. So now I want to pray for you as well. Let's pray for all those who are ready to take that next step in their career, in their job, for promotion and responsibility. Father, we thank you that you don't leave us where you find us. God, that you have called us as sons and daughters to be examples of the kingdom of God on earth. And you want to reveal us in our jobs in practical ways to all those around us. And Father, for those who are ready for promotions, for increase in revenue and responsibility, I ask, God, that you would open those doors right now in Jesus' name. And give them the right opportunities to step forward and say, yes, here I am. Thank you, God, for giving them the ability to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Well, as you can tell, our church is behind you to believe you, for you to have an abundant life. We don't believe that you should live under a spirit of poverty. We do not believe there will be poorness and poverty in heaven. We believe our job is to take heaven and bring it to earth. So the kingdom of God has never lacked anything. And so what we're learning to do is align our life with God's kingdom. And once you're in alignment with him, your resources are associated with him. So we can try to go out there and do it in our own strength. How many have tried that before? I'll just work harder. I'll just pick up an extra shift. And you just try and you're just burning yourself out, but you're not getting anywhere. And it's not wrong to pick up an extra shift. I'm not saying that. But how many know when you pray and you say, God, here are my finances. Here's my responsibilities. Here's my bills. Here's my vision for my life. I need a little help. And you put that plan in front of God and say, God, would you meet me and help my family go forward this year? I'm ready for more. How many know God loves those kind of prayers? Yeah, it's an open heart. And that's what I want to talk about today, is that God wants you and I to gain all that we can, to save all that we can, and then eventually we're going to get to the part where we give away all that we can. But today we're focusing mostly on the gaining and the saving. And then as we get to our final week of this series, it's going to be about, you know, abundance and generosity. I believe today that poverty and the spirit of poverty and the thinking of poverty is being lifted off of our church. I'm not saying all of you are under poverty. You know, I'm not talking about dollars and cents. I'm talking about the way you think. Do you think that you have enough, or do you think, I always am a little short? I just going to have to squeak by. Or do you believe that in God's kingdom there's more than enough? You see how it's a shift of thinking, not necessarily of how much money you have. So today we believe that God is going to lift the mental side of poverty off of your life, and you will be more free. You'll be more happy. You'll be more likely to buy that Tim Hortons drink for the guy behind you because you're like, no, I've got it. Have a smile cookie on me, buddy. Because you've got it. You don't got it. God has you, right? And you really realize your finances in an appropriate way are connected to God. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today." So we are the children of God by faith, just like children of Abraham. We don't earn it by going through a temple sacrifice or having the right a bloodline through DNA and say, oh, I'm a Jewish person, I have rights to God's temple. No, in the New Testament, Jesus came, he died for us, perfect life, perfect death, perfect resurrection. And when we put our faith in him, we are adopted into the family of God, and we have all rights and privileges associated with that. It's a wonderful gift. It's called the good news. It's called the gospel. And John Wesley wrote a famous sermon nearly 300 years ago with these three points. He said, gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. So let's talk about gaining all you can. And I liked what Adam said yesterday at Encounter, and this is really simple. How you gain all you can, it's called go to work. Get to work. It's not complex. It's not like rocket science. You just have to get a job and go to work and make money. Now, there's 1,000 ways to do that. I'm not telling you how to do it. We will never manipulate or control you. But God's will for your life is go get a job. Why? Because one of the Hebrew words for work is worship, avoda. So even God thought work was a great idea. Do you think in Genesis that when the garden was perfect, that do you think Adam and Eve were just sitting by on the sidelines on their sun chair and throwing grapes at each other? Do you know that their job was to tend the garden? Do you know they were working before the fall in the garden? They had jobs. People, oh, no. You know, an angel must have come through and cut the bushes or something. No. God gave them a job before the fall. So work is not an evil thing. You don't have to curse Mondays. You can go as a child of God and say, you know what? I'm happy. I get to go to work. I'm going to worship my God at work today. I'm going to represent him today. I'm going to come with an attitude of Jesus today. I'm going to show people abundance today. I'm going to show people love today, honor, respect, kindness, goodness, mercy today at my job. And people say, well, you know, you're just, that's not the kind, I'm a construction worker. I don't care where you work. You still bring the attitude of Jesus with you. And that's your ministry wherever you go. Gain all that you can, get to work. It seems like a greedy advice, but the cool thing is when you and I get money, and if we follow Jesus Christ, we do certain things with our money that's good for everybody. Who built the hospitals originally? Who built the homeless shelters? Who feeds the kids in the schools? You do. It's your finances that come through this church to do the work in the city. Who opens the homes for women who need a house and for ladies who are going through unplanned pregnancy? Who does that? God's people. That means he needs finances. Now, of course, God doesn't need our money. He's got plenty of it. The descriptions of heaven are very over the top, embarrassing. But he wants to use you and I as family members and ambassadors to send us out to do the work. So we have to be generous receivers, as Pastor Barry talks, receive the kingdom, receive the finances, and you and I get to go out and use it. So the question is, what are you using your finances for? God is going to hold us accountable for how we used our finances. So go get as much as you can, as long as it's ethical. Don't do it at the expense of your marriage. You know, don't find your identity in what you do. How many people find their identity in what they can do? oldest trap in the book, one of the oldest traps. What we find our identity in is being children of God. Our identity comes from being sons and daughters. Our Father's in heaven, and we are his children. And we go to work second. We don't go to work first to gain our identity. How many know if a professional athlete, a piano player, someone whose identity is what they do, if they only have that, what happens when something goes wrong? Their life's over. Depression. You hear these horrible stories. But if you find your identity in being a child of God, a son or daughter who's dearly loved, adopted, and cherished, no matter what happens, you got a smile on your face, say, God is with me, and my Father is going to take care of me. So we get our assignment from our Father, but we don't get our identity from our assignments. Maybe that's why we feel poor sometimes, is because we feel like we're not producing enough. We're looking at our identity and what we can do and what we can produce. What if we looked at our identity and who our Father is and say, we already are rich. We already are wealthy in God. Now I'm going to work. And you bring that mindset of abundance every time you go into a room. If you carry an abundant mindset into a room, who is going to look at you for answers? Your workmates, the people you go to school with, they're going to come to you for solutions because you already believe you have it inside you. They're going to knock on your door when a problem comes. So when your boss and when your people come to you, start knocking on doors, and they say, oh, man, solve this problem, you say, no problem. You smile and say, we'll figure it out. Here we go. Because God is with you. Don't shy away from trials, from problems at work. Don't shy away, because God actually sets you up for success. He wants you to shine for him in that hard place. That's when you can be a yes man. When trouble comes, you can say, yeah, we'll take care of it. Let's do it. Because you're not doing it on your own, are you? You're doing it with all the resources of your Father behind you. I love these. These are a few Psalms and Proverbs. What are we going to do with our money? I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy, Psalm 140:12. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Proverbs 14:21. It is a sin to despise one neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. So one thing we do is we gain all that we can and we save it. How many know if you gain it all, but you spend it all on yourself, there's not much left for others, is there? Now, I'm only speaking because I've done that so many times. You get to the end of the month, you go, well, uh-oh. It's like the accounts at zero or right pushing. You get those little RBC ding, and it says, your account is in overdraft. And you're like, oh, wow, that's great. I guess we didn't plan effectively this month. Let's try again next month. It's real, isn't it? When you get those little dings on your phone. If we don't intentionally save and put money aside, how can God use our money to bless other people? Because we've already spent it. If you take a percentage of your income and set it aside intentionally to sow and invest in other people, how many know it's just going to be less stress for you? My wife and I do that for, obviously, like Ryan and Christy do for our local church, right up front. We just give our 10% to that. We just sign it off and say, God, that's yours. We trust you. How many know it's a trust thing? That's what it is for us. Trust and obey. And when I was leaving for Africa in Seattle, I was going down the elevator before we moved, and God says, do you trust me? And I said, well, Lord, you know that I trust you. Do you trust me? And you know what spiritually God was asking me to my heart? Have you been tithing? And I say that as a transparent story for my life. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm telling you what God was asking me. He wanted to know, have I been trusting him? Trusting. But what he meant was, have you been tithing to me? Now, in that stage of our life, Katrina and I had very little money. We were not rolling in the dough. We were every month just praying and believing for God to get us to that next stage. But we were tithing. It was a small amount. It wasn't about the amount. It was a trust thing. And I said, God, I've been trusting you. And he goes, I will take care of you. We had worked it out between ourselves, from man to God, from son to father, you've been trusting me. I'm going to take care of you and your family. Don't worry about it. And he took care of us in spades in Africa. I'm embarrassed how much he spoiled us when we went there as short-term missionaries. We had a house with 7 bedrooms. We had a house with a pool and a fountain. The only pool in the city of 40,000 people that was working. You're not supposed to have that stuff as missionaries. I said, God, I'm a little embarrassed here because I hadn't had that fanciest stuff. And God said, are you okay if I want to bless you and your family? See how that poverty spirit thinks, oh, I can't have nice things. That would be wrong. You can have nice things. You can make a lot of money. But are you intentionally on saving and honoring God and putting some of your money aside so that you can do the work of God when he calls upon you? So you can do that. It might be a small project. It might be a $5 project, but God needs you. It might be a $10 project, a $20 project. It might be a $500 project. For some of us, it might be $1,000, $5,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. God isn't really, it's the money part is really between you and him. And how many know it's not wise to judge ourselves compared to other people's giving? That could be a serious trap. We don't do that game. We give because we obey God, not trying to earn anything or compare ourselves. So what we can do to gain more, this is something simple that God has taught me through the scriptures, and you can read it from Genesis through the end. If you need an increase of revenue, you have to stay in proper alignment with what God is asking you to do. So if God calls you to do this and that, then go do this and that, and God will provide for this and that. But if you go do your own thing and ask God to bless what you're doing, there's a lot of self-will in there, and it can be a long road. But if God calls you to do something, let's say he's like, I want you to be a plumber and run a business. Okay, so you've either got to go to school or be an apprentice. You've got to get a job starting with just carrying the pipes in the house. You don't really care how you get that first job, but you want to start somewhere, and you maybe have to go to school for a little while, and you're saying, God, I'm doing the best I can to get ready for that, what you've asked me to do. How many know God's going to meet your needs while you're doing that? So alignment first. I saw the plumber raise his hand back there. Come on. Alignment first. So you got to listen to God. Say, God, where do you want me right now? What are you doing, and how can I align myself with what you're doing? And he will give you direction. He might give you a problem to solve. Say, okay, God, I'll work on solving that problem. What should I do first? Maybe it's a time issue, a finance issue, a networking issue. Call a friend. But if you can hear from God and get in alignment with him, he will provide for the assignments that he gives you. Find all the people in the Old Testament that had a job to do, and God would just give them what they needed to do what they needed to get done. It was often supernatural because he's proving that his covenant is with you. A covenant is a promise that God made to you based on his behavior and character. Covenants are not based on your character, because how good do you have to be to make a covenant with God? I could never show up and say, well, here's my 50%. God, I had a good week. Oh, man, I'd be toast. But God said, how about I provide the perfect sacrifice for this covenant, my son Jesus Christ? If you believe in him, you're in. So he provides a perfect covenant on his behavior, his promises, his resources, and our faith. So check your alignment. If you notice that your finances are off a lot, all the time, check your alignment. Maybe you're in the wrong assignment. Maybe you're putting your hand to the wrong plow. Ask your close friends, do you see a gift in my life that I'm not taking advantage of? Talk to people. Say, is there a different way you see me doing better in life? Is there some wisdom that you can gain? Go a different direction. Now, when God does bless you and he adds money to your account, because we're talking about gaining money, when he does bless you, we need to be aware of selfishness. Selfishness just robs us from going where God wants to put us. And here's one question. When we get new money coming into our family income, it could be a small or large amount. And Katrina and I always ask this question, or we try to ask this question. Is it bread or is it seed? So let's say you're just working away and a big bonus comes in. You didn't expect it. Or you get an inheritance that comes in. Or it could be something smaller like a refund that comes into your household income. And you go, what should I do with this? Now, often, if you're in debt, what has Pastor Kevin been teaching from the scriptures? Pay your debt first. So that one's not rocket science. Just get in there and pay some debt down. Feels great. That's our goal, as debt-free living. Let's say money comes in and all your debts are managed and you're up on your bills and a large sum comes in. Then you say, God, is this bread or seed? And if you're married, do it together, pray together, and ask God, is this bread or seed? What do we do with bread? Consume, eat. It's for your family. You always wanted that big screen TV. God said, it's your bread. Do with it what you want. Right before the Super Bowl when the Seahawks win. Yes. But what if it's seed? What's seed made for? Casting, sowing, investing. You don't eat your seed because it doesn't do you anything. You need to cast and invest and put your seed in good soil and say, God, okay, seed, where should we put it? Ask him for a picture, a vision. Throughout the Bible, God used people all the time to do his work. That's you. You're his people. Where does he want you to put your seed? He might show you a person, a project. He might show you your own children, like you need to invest in something. I don't know. That's between you and God. But don't eat your seed and don't cast your bread. How many know if you're casting your bread out, you're going to have a lot of bills at the end of the month? Your bread is for you. Eat it. Use it. Pay your bills. Don't live in poverty because you gave all your money away and you're trying to be some special ultra-Christian person. No, no, no. Pay your bills. If you have leftover, then go and ask God, what are we going to do now? Now, here's the thing. As God expands your territory, as God expands your life, here's a few practical things that I remember God speaking to me just a few months ago. How many know this was a long and cold winter? And you go outside, and you're just like hoping for another sunny day, a little bit warmer. And I went outside, and we have about 3 acres that the Lord bless us with. And I was walking outside thinking of the summer. Ooh, freshly cut grass and some flowers and a pool. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. Because in the wintertime, you have none of that. It's cold. You got your jackets on, the wind chill. And this is what God spoke to me in a whisper. And he said, remember, this is not just for you. And I said, I know, Lord. Like I was quick to say, I know. In other words, when God blesses you with stuff, remember, it's not just for you. It is for you and your family. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it. But how many know it's not just for you? God wants to add something to your life, but if he knows you're just a selfish person, he's like, bummer. It's only going to stop at their family when I could have blessed multiple people. But if God knows you're faithful with a little, if God knows that you're going to bless families and take care of people with his over and above abundance, God can trust you with more. So God was reminding me, remember, I didn't give this just for you. It's for us. It's a weird way to live, but it's freeing because it's, yes, you're responsible to steward it, as we've learned, but after that, you're responsible to share it. So maybe you could ask God this week, is there something, God, that I've been holding a little too close to the chest? Is there something that I haven't been sharing that you would like me to? How many know it hurts a lot less when someone grabs something out of your hand and it's like this? When you're holding on and say, God, not that one. I was asking God about that yesterday. I said, what if God put an extra large amount of surprise money in my account through some weird thing that happened in my life? More than I've ever received in my life. And I thought, that selfishness was just like creeping up going, well, Lord, I'd like to do this and pay for that and do that. But then I remembered Katrina and I would simply pray, God, is this bread or seed? See how it takes doesn't matter if it's $100 or $10,000. If you pray and put God first, he'll take the pressure off. He'll show you what to do. It's free, very free. Now, why do we want to gain all that we can? Here's a simple thing, and you've heard us say it before. We want to gain all you can because you can't give what you don't have. Oh, I would just love to help this person. I would love to help. You hear people say that. They can't because they don't have anything to give. So give what you can give. Maybe you have time. Maybe you have a talent. Maybe right now you're in a lean season. There's no judgment on that. Maybe your income is low. That's okay. But what do you have to give? It could be who knows? You know how much a special meal is to drop by at someone's house, a phone call, a text, a prayer, a visit, because you can do something. Don't compare yourself to people next to you. Do what you can with what you have. And then say, God, but I would like to go more. I would like to have more. I'd like to help more. I'd like to gain more. And here's something I realized today. Do you know that Jesus had a savings account? It's kind of funny to think about. This Jesus is God, fully man, fully God. He had a savings account, which is funny to me because he had access to his Father every morning. He had a little prayer chat with God. He'd get away to a solitary place, check in with his Father, ask him what to do, and then he'd go do it. So he had direct access. He had everything he would ever need by just simply asking. But do you know that in John 12:6, we read about the disciples having the Last Supper and there being a money purse? There's talk in the Bible of a money bag. And it says Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, was actually stealing from the bag. Jesus himself and his team of 12 had a savings account. So let that sink in. Jesus could have said, Peter, I need you to go fishing every day at noon. Every day you're going to get a big fish and there's going to be coins in its mouth. He did it one time that we know of. When they had to pay a temple tax, he said, Peter, I want you to go down, catch a fish. There'll be coin for you and me and pay the tax. But do we have lots of stories like that with Jesus supernaturally doing that? No. So here's what you got to realize. In your life, you can have supernatural provision and you can have regular planned savings. How many know that we tend to go to one or the other? There's personality types that go, no, I'm just believing for my miracle. And that's great, but they won't pick up a shovel. So they want God to do the work and the payment. Can God do it? Of course. And he does often. He's merciful. But how many know it's good that we do what we can do with the shovel, make the income, put it into savings, and believe God for the supernatural? I like to do both. Because when I go to bed at night, I can say, well, I did the best I could with what I had, but I'm still believing for more. So I want to challenge you. Pick up the shovel, go to work, but believe God for the breakthrough. It is not wrong. My wife taught me this early on in marriage, to ask, seek, and knock. I used to just sit back and say, well, God will do it if he wants. You know, if he wants us to have a house, he'll do it. I don't want to seem like I'm asking for too much. False humility started coming in. I'll just sit back. God never was looking for sit back Christians. He's looking for you and I to take a strong stance and say, God, I am ready and I'm asking X, Y, Z. And he'll give you an answer. I don't know what the answer will be. That's between you and him. But it's not wrong to ask. What are you asking God for in this season? What are you asking God to increase your revenue so you can have certain things? You know, when I'm looking at our mortgage, I do that too. I say, God, here's our mortgage, here's our payments, and I want to ask you, could you help us out with that? I know 25 years is kind of a long time. Can you help speed that process up? Because if I wasn't paying a mortgage, which I will, but if I didn't have to pay a mortgage, that income would be freed up to do other things. Wouldn't that be exciting? What could we do with that money? Who could we bless? What would our life be like? So it's not wrong to ask, seek, and knock. Until then, we're going to do our planned saving, our planned giving, pay our mortgage, pay our bills, but we're asking for more because we can. Now, how many know there was a group of ladies in the scriptures that was a part of Jesus' support team when he was going around? There was patron saints, these ladies that were business owners and other people in the Bible that actually helped fund the ministry. When Jesus had a sleepover at somebody's house with 12 dudes and a group of people, someone was paying the bill. Someone had to pay it. What if God wanted to bless you in your life so that you would walk as a patron saint? and that you would fund and help the ministries of Jesus in your neighborhood, in your city, in your world. Are you able to handle that? Or is selfishness going to come in and say, no, that's for me? God will use you in crazy ways if you just make yourself available. These ladies got to be a part of that. They're recorded in the scriptures of investing in Jesus' kingdom. They knew they had a calling and they used it. The same did in Paul's letters. There was other people that helped. Like, we all have different assignments. Don't judge each other. Be free. Ask God for an increase. Save what you can and be ready to give. Sometimes the money comes supernaturally. Sometimes the money just comes through normal hard work, getting your paycheck, making good decisions. How many know when I was at Costco yesterday, there were some decisions to be made? When you go to the $600 store and you're pushing that cart and you go, oh, drop. And then Lucy was with us, her daughter. She's like, Dad, that's already $200. And I'm like, yeah. What was our budget this month? You start asking these uncomfortable questions. Because if you just didn't have a budget, you just keep throwing stuff in. So then we got a few things in the cart, and the bill just kept going up and up. And all of a sudden, I went, okay, and I pulled these back out and said, okay, throw that out. The cart got lighter and lighter, and nope, that one's going. I don't really need those. Put those back. And we ended up, yes, with a few things. But, you know, 5 years ago, I probably would have just left it all in the cart, got the credit card out, swipe. And then you go home, you go, I saw people at Costco. God bless them. They looked like they had lost a family member. They were at the end of the aisles like this because they had had to pay for all that. And they were sitting there before they checked out. They looked downcast in their soul. I'm like, you shouldn't spend that much that it hurts to go shopping. I mean, they were just like, I thought, wow, we need to learn something as a culture. It's not wrong to prosper. It's not wrong. We can have our children come in. We're going to get ready for communion. It's not wrong to gain riches. It's right to honor God. It's right to pay your bills. It's right to go to work. It's right to save money. And it's right to align yourself and say, God, what do you want me to do with it? Amen? Amen. Well, we want to invite our children in. And this morning, we're going to have a time of sharing the Lord's communion with the bread and the cup and the wine, the not real wine, it's juice, that's right. I forgot what church I was in. Communion is a symbolic meal that we share together with our Savior Jesus Christ. It's a time both for eating food and drink to remember what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. I know today we talked about money, which compared to Jesus and the cross seems so low. And I get that. It doesn't seem very spiritual. But God cares about the little things in your life. God is a personal God. He's not some far-off God. He actually is referred as a father. And fathers care. And he's the perfect father. So today, we are going to share together. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat this, my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. All right, where's Ryan? Oh, Ryan, can you pray for us before we take the bread?
Father, we thank you for the broken body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That because by his stripes we are healed. And Father, that it was broken for each and every one of us individually. That while he hung on the cross, every name in this room was on his mind. We thank you. And with that, we just say amen.
Thank you, Father. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jolie, could you lead us in prayer?
Father, we just come to you now as we have this resemblance of what your blood that had been shed on the cross for us. That this is just another reminder, Father, that the curse of sin and death has been broken over us. And we thank you, Father, that we come now in remembrance, as in Psalms 103, where we forget not our benefits, that you heal all of our diseases and you forgive all of our iniquities, Father. And that through your blood and through the broken body, Father, that we can say that we are free from all the curses over our lives, Father, that we can live our lives as overcomers because of what you've done for us. And we give you glory in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Derek, can you lead us in that chorus? Father, we do that right now. We thank you for your goodness, undeserved love and rescuing and salvation. We believe. We just put our faith out. We say, we believe you. We believe your word. We believe what you did on the cross. We believe that you are alive and in heaven now. We believe that you have given us authority to live a life following you, loving one another. God, thank you for being close to us. We celebrate that. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless each one of you. If you'd like prayer for something specific, please come forward and we'd love to pray for you. Have a great week. We'll look forward to celebrating Mother's Day next Sunday.